Good morning, everybody. Once again, I want to wish Carol's father's yahrzeit, his neshama should have an aliyah, Dr. Meyer Tendler, who, of course, Carol is here honoring and remembering this morning. I also thought it would be appropriate if we would learn a little bit in his memory. So the Mishnah that we're up to is a statement of Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, and like his two comrades, he had a three-part statement. Yesterday we discussed Rabbi Yeshua, and then the day before that, Rabbi Eliezer. So these were his three comments. And again, each of these you could spend an hour on. We have about a minute for each. So, again, this is not doing it justice. But the first thing he said is, Yihi mamun chaverecha chaviv alecha kishelcha, that just as your own money is very precious to you, because money is important for life, so too, when you're in a position to influence your friend's money, that should be treated like your very own money. And, you know, this isn't just like a nice aphorism, but this is actually a Torah-level law. Part of Yahavta l'reacha kamocha, to love your neighbor as yourself, and part of the very serious prohibition of lo samar al dam reyacha, do not stand by while your brother or your sister is in danger. Those, according to the Rambam, on a Torah level, have monetary implications. That is to say, you are obligated on a Torah level. Part of the mitzvah of yahavta reyacha kamocha is to treat your friend's money as if it were your own. And also, seeing your friend in danger, lo tamod al dam reyacha, doesn't only mean in the physical sense, but it means if somebody's coming after his money, you have to be very careful about that as well. I once knew an extremely, extremely wealthy individual, very high net worth, and a major philanthropist who explained, he wasn't talking about this Mishnah, but he gave me yet another insight into the Mishnah. He truly believed, he's a very pious person, he believed that God had given him extraordinary wealth. This wasn't lip service, I assure you, so that he could give money to the community. So he never treated his own actual money that he owned, you know, according to United States law, as his money. He related to all money as mamon chavercha, and therefore he treated it with a very, very high degree of care, not because he wanted, you know, to buy a private jet, but because there were so many causes he wanted to support. So I'm not going to mention the causes that he happens to support, because then you'll be able to figure out who it is. But that's another insight into he, mamon chavercha, chaviv alecha kishalcha. How much is money ever really truly ours? Number one. Number two, second part of the statement is, hat ken atzmecha lulmo Torah, sheni Yerushalach. That you have to prepare yourself to study Torah. What does this mean? So Rabbi Yonah explains is that Torah, of course, is not acquired just as an intellectual discipline, but Torah is acquired as a consequence of very significant investment in one's moral character. As the Gemara says, quoting the Pasuk, Tzadikim Yochuvam Uposhim Yikashuvam, is that Torah settles and is internalized by people who have prepared their characters for it. And unfortunately, Torah seems less palatable to people who have not refined their character. The Torah is all about compassion and altruism, etc. So if a person is a narcissist, right, there's going to be a clash there. So you have to prepare yourself to study Torah. She'ena Yerushalach, it's not an inheritance. Repeatedly, the Torah describes Torah as a morasha, as a heritage, and not an inheritance. And there are two primary differences. A Yerusha is automatic. Father passes away, you inherit the money. Torah doesn't work that way. The Gemara talks about that it's very common, unfortunately, for great Torah scholars to be fail to produce children who are Torah scholars. So it's not a Yerusha, right? If it was Yerusha, it'd be automatic. That's number one. On the other hand, this is a more positive side, a Yerusha could be squandered. You could inherit $1 million, and 6 a.m. in Atlantic City, you could have lost it all. Torah doesn't work that way. It's a heritage. You can never fully squander it. There will always be an opportunity to reclaim it. And again, it belongs not to you personally, like the Yerusha, but it really belongs to the entire Jewish people. That's the second comment that Rabbi Yossi HaKohen made. And then he said, finally, a famous one, V'chol ma'asecha yu l'shem shemayim, that whatever you're doing, in business, in your family life, trying to get your kids dinner, trying to get to visit the grandkids, you know, whatever it is that you're doing, you have to keep in mind l'shem shemayim, that there's a right way and there's a wrong way. There's a way of integrity and there's not a way of integrity. And the Rambam wrote a famous essay just about this line, because the Gemara in Brachos says that the entire Torah really hinges on this line. Gemara in Brachos Samach Gimel. He says, Kol gufei Torah tluyin ba. That all the Torah really relates to this, because a person either believes that Torah is in for the shul, or Torah is for the classroom, but the rest of life, you know, I'm free to do whatever I want. I'm a ruthless capitalist, or I'm, you know, a Ferbrentis socialist. Whatever you are, you have your own ideology outside. No, that's not the way Torah is supposed to work. Chol ma'asecha yu l'shem shemayim. That every interaction you have to bear in mind, you know, what exactly would the Torah have to say about this? How could I best serve God in this situation?